and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN, for people who want the truth and can also handle the truth. To see the lineup for Studio A and B, please click on the word schedule in the RBN banner at the top of the page at republicbroadcasting.org. Don't forget to sign up for the archive so that you'll be able to listen to all of these programs from all of these fine hosts at Republic Broadcasting. Please visit the radio schedule page at spingola.com to see a list of the guests together with links to their websites. Join my email list to receive the week's schedule and other important notices. It is linked on the schedule page. For questions or comments during the program, email spingola1 at yahoo.com. Otherwise, my regular email is deanna at spingola.com. We will take calls in the second hour after the first break at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Merlin Miller. He has two websites. One is Americana-pictures.com and MerlinMiller2012.com. Recently, he spoke at the Freedom Palooza 2012 in Pennsylvania, and I listened to that talk. It was very good, very inspiring. Welcome to the program, Merlin.
Well, thank you, Deanna. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, thank you so much. And you talked at that Freedom Palooza about five different ways that countries are destroyed from within. And but first, before we go into that, tell us a little bit about the movie that you are in the process of making. It's about USS Liberty, and it's your website, Americana-pictures.com. You show the photo, and give us a little information about that.
Sure, Dan. You bet. Most of my career, I've actually been in the film industry, but as an independent filmmaker. And I think it was 2002 I first met a survivor from the USS Liberty, which opened my eyes to some incredible stories and intrigues. And it led us eventually to writing a screenplay, which we've done over the last couple of years, called False Flag. And it's a modern-day story, actually, about a journalist who finds out about the USS Liberty and how that connects to what's going on in the world today, and especially our foreign intrigues in the Middle East. So it's a story about stopping a future false flag from escalating our current war on terror into World War III. So it's a pretty volatile, edge-of-your-seat thriller, which is also politically incorrect.
Oh, absolutely. Will that be shown in most of the theaters, or how do you plan to distribute that movie?
Well, as an independent, you know, we've got to develop our own distribution and marketing strategy, and it's kind of like Mel Gibson had to do with The Passion. And, you know, fortunately for he had a lot of money and a star's superpower status to be able to do that. We've got to depend on other avenues for that. Theaters will work with us. I've found that out in past projects. If we have our own marketing dollars, our costs for the prints and advertising, we can get it out into a lot of theaters. But we're going to particularly look to alternative means of distribution to get it to the public, you know, through the Internet, of course, through DVD production and other sources. But it's an uphill battle as an independent filmmaker to get your film to the public. It doesn't matter how great a film it might be. It might be the best film ever made. If Hollywood puts the barriers in front of you, it's tough. You've got to be inventive, and that's what we'll have to do.
Okay. We are going to take a quick 3-minute break, and we will be right back with our guest today. Stay tuned.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? from GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call Get Berkey at 855-GET-BERKEY. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
You know, babe, I've got to say, there's a whole passel of reasons I'm happy we bought our seed bank from Texas Ready.
Really?
Yeah, the one that makes me happiest is our salsa garden. Onions, jalapenos, fantastic tomatoes, cilantro.
I know, dear. You couldn't survive without your salsa.
Folks, Texas Ready helps you to thrive, not merely survive. Multiple kinds of heirloom tomatoes, onions, and peppers. Plus non-GMO corn, beans, peas, and vegetable varieties out the wazoo. With over 75 varieties, each Liberty Seed Bank has enough fruit, herbs, and vegetables to enable you to grow well over 2,000 pounds of food in your subdivision backyard each year. Order your bank today at TexasReady.net or come visit us at Glenn Beck's Restoring Love Conference, July 26th and 27th. We'll be set up near the registration tables at the Arlington Sheraton. Go to TexasReady.net for more information. See you there.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Merlin Miller. He has two websites, Americana-pictures.com and MerlinMiller2012.com. Just out of curiosity, who was the patriot, the person that you met, the survivor from the USS Liberty back in 2002?
I should really reveal his name because he's actually working in the industry. I met him while I was promoting a film, and he's working in the business, and I don't know if that would be something that he would really want me to release, but He told me just a little bit about their story and then referred me on to others, and then I eventually met several of the crewmen and attended their crew reunions. And that was, I think, 2002 I met him and attended the reunions in 2005 and 2007, and in between that time was doing a lot of research and trying to connect some other things.
Sure. Now, before you met him, did you know about the USS Liberty?
You know, I'd never heard about it, and I was an Academy grad from the Army, and I had friends who were Naval Academy grads. I shared the information with them afterwards, and they had never heard of it. It's just amazing to me that people in the military have never heard of this this false flag attack on our ship.
Incredible. And you graduated from West Point in 74?
I did.
Okay. And you have done a couple of independent films thus far, Jericho and A Place to Grow. Would you like to tell us about those films?
Sure. They were really my efforts. I went back to school, USC Film School, in 1983, and it was a two-year grad program that was really designed for studio executives and producers of major Hollywood films. And I didn't fit into that niche, so I went independent and did a lot of guerrilla films, primarily working for hire in California on a lot of low-budget motion pictures that were not good movies, but it was a great training ground experience. And finally left Hollywood because I couldn't find any support for what I wanted to do. And Walt Disney had been my idol growing up, so I really wanted to respect and do the kind of films that I think he would be doing, you know, were he alive today. And that led us on a trip around the country looking for support to do movies and did A Place to Grow in Missouri in the 90s, and then in the early 2000, 2001, did Jericho, and we filmed that down in Texas.
Okay. Now, who is funding, who funded these activities?
As an independent filmmaker, you don't have the funding resources of the major distributors who fund the bulk of all motion pictures that are made. And they spend, at the time we've done these films, they were spending an average of about $50 million or more per motion picture. But it was distribution funds, the income from those sources, that fund production of new projects. And in the case of an independent, you develop your own screenplay, your own project. You try to present it to the distributors, and you find support or you don't. In the case of a company like ours and like my background, being from the Midwest with Christian values, you just are not going to find the support for your films in Hollywood. So you look independently. You have to go out and form a company entity where you have equity investors in the project, whether it's a limited partnership or some other structure, to find investment dollars, produce the film, and hopefully are successful in generating income then to pay off the you know, the equity investors in the project, which is next to impossible, unfortunately, with the system of distribution we have today. Like I say, you can spend a very small amount of money, and both A Place to Grow and Jericho were made for under $1 million. And like I say, this is at a time when Hollywood was spending $50 million. And Jericho got a lot of airplay, won several film festivals, should have generated a lot of money for us. But unfortunately, the way the system is designed, it doesn't do that. You know, the independent is out there starving, and his investors are out there starving, trying to figure out how to do it. So yeah, as we move forward, we're learning our lessons, and basically we're not going to count on Hollywood in any way. We have to move forward and pretend the industry does not exist, and that we're building new markets for the people that we think are going to like our films, and go from there to where we control the entire process from development, production, all the way through marketing and distribution.
Would you compare yourself with Aaron Russo as far as the filmmaking and some of the activities that he was engaged in?
Well, he was certainly independent-minded, and he was a courageous man. I've got a lot of respect for his work. He had been a part of the film industry. I mean, he grew up as pretty much an insider, or worked his way into that, which I never was. I was never accepted as an insider, even though I graduated from a program that only graduated 20 people per year. And they typically feed the industry, but it's a very controlled process, and if you're not one of the select few that graduate each year, and although I graduated the top of my class, it made no difference. Talent wasn't the criteria they were looking for. And in Aaron Russo's case, he had some successes based on his relationships and being accepted into that system, but I really wasn't, and I've always been outside that system, and partially by design. You know, I don't really want to fall into the pitfalls of the Hollywood environment. But I certainly would have tried had I gotten the support to do the kind of films I wanted to do.
Sure. And he had been in it for a long time before he decided to become independent and also go into the political realm.
Right, right. He was in the music industry and of course, then got political and had courage. You know, he met some people. He got some information, which was critical information that he, as an American patriot, felt he had to share, and I had great respect for Aaron Russo.
Right, yeah. I met him when he came, when his film was played here locally. He came and sat with, you know, the folks there in the theater, and it was very interesting to meet him, and I think that, given the magnitude of the film and given its importance, I had hoped that there would be a lot more people that would come to see it. But I think that there were people who did see it because he was associated with it and they knew his background, and so that they probably wouldn't have otherwise seen the movie. But I think that his movie did have quite a lot of success. I'm talking about America, Freedom to Fascism. And I think that your movie could also experience the same kind of success, because I think that the Patriot Movement, the so-called Patriot Movement, will support it.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think even more than that, Aaron Russo's career was primarily producing commercial motion pictures, which were fed into the Hollywood distribution scheme. Now, when he did more in the vein of doing documentaries, you know, stories that told the truth and were done documentary style, your market is much, much more limited, and it's very unusual for documentaries to be profitable. Now, he made an exceptional film there, and it's really caught on and done well in the Patriot community. But for the most part, as a filmmaker, I look as moving forward in the vein of entertaining first. If we can find a product that will take the couch potatoes and get them to sitting on the edge of their seat and really be entertained by something and get their attention, then hopefully they'll be able to pick up the other messages that are somewhat subliminal but are in the stories in a way which hopefully when they walk away from the motion picture, they're thinking about themes and other issues besides just the entertainment value of the movie. And I think that's what False Flag does. It's a very entertaining project in the sense that I think it's very commercial, a lot of action, a love story, a lot of intrigue to it, potential for a dynamite soundtrack because the female lead is a Patriot singer in the story. So I think it's got potential to cross into the mainstream and be a very commercial film, but at the same time it tells a story that nobody else is telling, and I think it's better told in entertainment than as a documentary.
I believe you're right. I think you're really correct, because that's the way Hollywood has been successful in kind of indoctrinating us into believing things that really aren't true. And if you do weave it as a story with that action, intrigue, and romance, then people will be attracted to it. I think that's very wise of you to do it this way.
Well, if you look back at history, I mean, Hollywood has altered our whole belief system, you know, what we think is true, and our attitudes toward everything has changed dramatically, and especially since the mid-60s, you know, since the Cultural Revolution and all the impacts of cultural Marxism. But and that's been by design. It's been a very carefully orchestrated scenario, and I think we could emulate that and hopefully turn things back in a direction which is more inspiring and positive for our people that might help give us a future instead of the destructions that are ongoing right now.
Right. Now, you have a donation button there at your website, americana-pictures.com, and you also have give the viewers an opportunity to read the screenplay.
Right, and that's pretty unusual, but, you know, I don't feel I'm going to have much competition for making this project. So it's a high-risk project, but if we can get this thing made, it's going to get a lot of attention. I think it could be a game-changer. And we put the screenplay up on the website for anybody to read. And reading a screenplay, it's an unusual form. It's not like reading a novel. It's almost like watching the motion picture, to where it's designed to sit down and be able to read the screenplay in a two-hour period of time as though you were watching the movie. And so it's, once you get used to it, it's really a very engaging, form of, you know, reading a story. And we've posted it on our website so anybody can read it and get the flavor for what the story is and what the characters are and, you know, what it's all about.
Okay. Now, when do you anticipate being done with the movie?
You know, fundraising is our key challenge right now, trying to find the funds to produce the film. We do have some leads. We are working some things right now. I'm very actively involved in the political campaigning this year, so I really don't see us moving this into high gear until after November. My goal is to secure our funds over the winter time so that we're in production by next spring. And then it takes, from the time you're in production for release, 6 to 9 months before the film is really ready to start screening for people. But it takes time, but our goal is to be in production next spring.
And who do you plan on having act in this movie? Do you have
No, I'd love to pick some superstars, but at the budget level we're working, you can't really get too many name actors. The movies that I've worked on in the past, we would have two or three, maybe up to a half dozen recognizable names, but generally not the superstars, because they won't typically work on small independent films, especially when it's controversial where their career may be on the line.
Sure.
So we're primarily going to be looking for young, fresh talent that is incredible and perfect for the roles, but not necessarily name talent. If we get lucky and find somebody, then we will, of course.
All righty, Merlin, we're going to a break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival?
Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what. Now the next question that remains to be answered is, why in the world are they spraying? An investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control. Why in the world are they spraying? Premiering and streaming live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the three-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Merlin Miller. His websites are Americana-pictures.com and MerlinMiller2012.com. Now, at the website, Americana-pictures.com, you have plans, and under the plans, you talk about finding screenwriters or having developing screenwriters workshops to develop and guide prospective writing talent. Now, is that for further movies, or is that for this movie that that you're currently?
No, it was actually to develop new talent, and we've conducted a couple of these already, and I'd love to conduct them regularly, where we have about 20 to 25 writers come, and we conduct an all-day workshop. And it's a really intense session, but we give them the tools, and basically from my experience with screenwriting and taking other programs and courses, we share what we feel is the best tools for these aspiring writers to develop their own stories into screenplays, and hopefully they're writers that that are looking to do the kind of stories that we would be interested in producing, but if not, at least get those tools. And of course, our goal is to get writers that are going to feed us some incredible screenplays and stories, so that we can grow and get to the stage where we're doing several motion pictures a year, and then can really have an impact on public attitude.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. All right, you talked about, let's go to your other website, MerlinMiller2012.com. Tell us about your candidacy for president.
I actually, in the process of learning about the USS Liberty and starting to connect dots, started doing a lot of research, and by about 2006, I wrote a treatise called The American Dream, and that was really, you know, my journey of exploration to try to figure out what was really going on in the country and connecting political, military, and media intrigues. And that is actually posted also at the Americana-Pictures website. We actually have the treatise published there on the news page. But it led me on a journey to where I started getting politically active and met Ron Paul in 2007, got to be a very strong supporter of him and his campaign in 2008, and actually ran as a delegate for him here in Tennessee. And I think he's a great man. I have great respect for him. I don't know what's going to go on here at the Republican National Convention, and I was disappointed that he didn't continue the fight, and perhaps we've got some surprises in store for us at the convention. But I was approached just about, I guess, about 7 or 8 months ago by a new political party, and a lot of the people that formed this party, the American Third Position Party, had been strong Ron Paul supporters. There were a couple issues that Ron Paul shied away from that are very important to the American Third Position Party, immigration being one of them, you know, stopping the invasion, and another one, tackling the cultural Marxism that is destroying the character of our people. And Ron Paul tends never to address those issues. So the party basically has a Ron Paul platform, and they came to me asking if I would consider being on their ticket as a presidential candidate to help grow the party. And, of course, you know, it's a startup party, so we have no serious aspirations. But if we can build the movement, if we can grow a political party as an alternative to the Republicans and Democrats, we think it's desperately needed. Because, in my opinion, both parties are totally controlled by special interests. And the politicians we have today are, for the most part, career politicians who serve people other than their constituencies. And that's not what our founding fathers intended. So I finally accepted. I was very reluctant because I'm really not a political person, but I did accept, and I'm doing what I can to help grow the party and grow the movement, and especially getting awareness out there of some of the important issues that the mainstream media does not touch on and that neither political party and their candidates will touch on.
Right. Speaking of Ron Paul, and specifically about his son Rand Paul, apparently just in the last couple of days, he attempted to get a journalist associated with RT fired because she asked some very embarrassing questions. Do you know anything about that?
Well, not really, but I did about it, and it's disturbing to me. And if it's true, and if it's, you know, as I've read it, it is very disturbing to me. And I met Rand Paul as well as Ron Paul. I've not only on a couple of occasions where I've met Ron on more, and I had a certain reluctant respect for him, and I would still love to be proven that that's right, to have that faith in somebody like Rand Paul. But he's done a few things that have me very concerned. I just don't think that he's the same man that his father is. I hope he'll prove me wrong in the future, but things like that are very disturbing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the film, it's a YouTube video, and probably I will post it today on today's date, has him just absolutely ignoring, and, I mean, it shows his actions. And as you indicate, it's pretty disturbing. And he's done some other very disturbing things, so... Anyway, yes, that's interesting that the father and the son have two different approaches to things.
Well, when you meet him, you see the natures are so different. Ron Paul is such a humble person, and I mean, he'll look you in the eye. You really feel that he's a concerned statesman for our country. I didn't get that same sense from Rand Paul. There's an element of arrogance, and perhaps it's being the second generation of the notoriety of his father and the wealth and security that comes with that make him a different person. But I hope ultimately the values that Ron Paul imbued in him will come through, and that he'll do what is necessary for our country in a positive way.
All righty, we are going to a 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest, so stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost, and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in 2 sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Merlin Miller. He has 2 websites, Americana-pictures.com and MerlinMiller2012.com. Now, when you were at Freedom Palooza in Pennsylvania, you talked about the 5 ways that countries are destroyed from within. Would you like to elaborate on those 5 ways?
Sure, Deanna. It actually comes from just reading a lot of history and studying situations. And if you do go back in history, you'll find that there really are 5 ways that countries are destroyed. And the first and probably most prevalent way is financial tyranny, and that's going on throughout the world today. And it says a couple facets of financial tyranny. One is the currency, and of course we've got a fiat currency, which, you know, in my opinion and our Constitution's opinion, should not exist. You know, we shouldn't have private bankers issuing currency and charging interest charges and creating it out of nothing with no, you know, gold or silver backing. So I would love to see us get that back to our treasury and get a sound currency as our footing. And the other thing for financial tyranny is what's going on with our production capabilities. You know, any developed country to sustain itself has to be a producing nation. If you're only a consuming nation, you're ultimately going to fold and be nothing but a colony of those nations that are producing. And we've given that away, and it's not the American people. You know, the middle class is what made our country such a special country. And the fact that people had the ability to get jobs, to work their ways up to where they had a transit for a better way of life through the middle class, and that was what the American dream was all about. We're losing that primarily because of the betrayals in Washington, D.C. Our politicians are selling out the American people in favor of special interests. They're working more for foreign nations and especially for multinational corporations today than they are the interests of the American working person. And right. You know, that's devastating, and they've done it through these free trade agreements, which are certainly not fair to the American people, and there's all kinds of things we can do to correct that financial tyranny, but that's the first of the five, and military interventionism is a very important second one, and of course we've been fighting wars.
Before we go on to the military intervention, do you really feel that having a gold or silver-backed currency is the way to go, given that there are certain entities that own the majority of the gold in the world?
Well, you know,
I
personally think there needs to be some sort of competing currencies, whether it's another commodity. There should be some real value backing that currency and not just a fiat that somebody can create at will and control the financial destiny of the nation. I mean, it has to be something with real value that it can't be inflated away.
Sure.
That's our
like the
problem.
Production of the nation itself?
It could, yes. That's another alternative way.
Okay. All righty. All right, talk about military intervention, which is a terrible, terrible thing that we've been doing for a very, very long time.
Well, global elites, you know, they basically don't look at national sovereignty as something with any respect. They don't want us to have our national sovereignty, our national character, our borders and whatnot. And throughout history, they've pitted countries against each other. And, of course, they profit by doing that. And if you look at America and the wars that we were involved in, particularly in the 20th century, were devastating to us and, financially to the blood of our people and now especially in the last, 15 years or so to the reputation of America throughout the world. We're involved as an empire building and looking to police other nations, and we're right now in about 140 countries and 800 bases, and that wasn't the vision of the Founding Fathers, and that's not what a republic should be involved in. We should be minding our own business and, if anything, leading by example and not by force. And, of course, we're not doing it for the American people. We're doing it for the global elites, for the nation of Israel. We're doing it for oil interest and the multinational corporations. And, unfortunately, people in the military, especially once they retire, benefit largely from the military-industrial complex. So it's difficult to stop that. But we have to. And economically, we're going to be forced to pretty soon. But we've got to get out of all these interventions and start to protect America's borders and not the borders of other countries. That really was the second way of destroying nations, which kind of leads to the third one, of protecting our own borders. When you change the demographics of a nation, you're destroying that nation. America was founded, and our founding documents were made by European Americans who brought their values. It was a Christian nation. They brought their values and their capabilities to America and made this nation the great nation that it is or was. And until the mid-60s, we were 90% European-derived. Now, with the Immigration Act of 1965, that radically altered things and began the destruction of our national character. Where now we've got a major invasion. The legal invasion started in 65, but now we've got a major illegal invasion. And we've gone from 90% to about 65%. And somebody born in 1965 as part of a 90% majority is now predicted to die as a minority in their own country. And that's the modest age of 77. And that is bizarre. It's not happening by accident. That is being designed by global elites to destroy our sovereignty, destroy our national character. We've got to stop that. That's probably our greatest risk right now for America falling apart.
Didn't this immigration issue start earlier, in the 1920s after World War One?
Well, it did, really after the Civil War in the late 1800s. Prior to that, we'd all been, for the most part, Northern Europeans coming to this country, and their values, their backgrounds were close enough to where they could assimilate with one another, and differences, but not substantial. And in the late 1800s, we started immigration reform, which brought in a lot of people from Southern Europe and from Eastern Europe. Still were able to assimilate, but it brought more difficulties to the country. And then they had immigration reform in 1924, which tried to normalize that and stop the bringing in of people that didn't really have the same kind of values that would easily assimilate. And that held true until about 1965, which was our undoing. And in 1924, they tried to equate it to what our national percentages were. So if you had a certain percent of population from this area of the world or this country, your immigration policy would be based on trying to maintain those sort of proportions. And that was thrown out the window in 1965, and we began an invasion from the third world to totally change our demographic makeup.
Right. Now, do you think that the meeting at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, on March 23, 2005, between George W. Bush, Vincente Fox, and Paul Martin had anything to do with the border situation?
Sure. I think they're forwarding the North American Union for sure there and trying to remove our borders between Mexico and Canada. And that's treasonous for these people to be doing that and meeting without the approval of the Congress and the American people. Those are the kind of things that our global elites do today, and they do it by way of controlling these politicians. And they control the media, which, of course, influences our public knowledge. You know, we don't really know what's going on, and these things happen before we have a chance to react, and we're conditioned to accept them.
Right. And right after that, the Council on Foreign Relations created the Independent Task Force to study this three-country pact. You know, it was 31 members who decided to do this. And as you say, the press doesn't ever cover anything like this. And yet they were making plans to destroy the borders, destroy the sovereignty of our country without ever notifying the American public. And yet we see on TV how, oh, my goodness, we're just trying as hard as we can to keep the flow of illegal immigrants from swarming into our country, when in fact they planned it, and it is de facto, it is done.
Yeah, I know it's an insidious process. I mean, they've just incrementally been undoing us, you know, and lying to us at the same time.
Yeah. And their target date was 2010. Do you think that they, for this new community, this North American community, the CFR proposed that it would be done by 2010. Do you think they made their goal?
Of course not. Thank goodness enough patriots are waking up, and it's through shows like yours and the Internet that people are waking up to these evils, and hopefully we can stop it, you know, and that's an ongoing battle right now for the soul of America. There are other things, you know, there are two other ways of destroying nations which impact that, too, and I don't know if you want me to go on.
Oh, absolutely. Go on. Yes.
Well, a fourth one is really our moral degeneracy, our moral decay, and I blame primarily the media for that, which is, again, owned and controlled largely by the same group of global elites. And I'm in the motion picture industry and have since 1983, and people might say, well, you're a conspiracy theorist to think that there's an agenda afoot to destroy our values, but it's clearly so. When you look at the limitations to who gets to produce, what gets distributed, the kind of product that's developed, and you can look through the last few decades and you can clearly see, you know, the transition from what used to be, you know, fairly good quality entertainment to what is such a degenerate state of entertainment today that our young people are nearly hopeless. I mean, they're raised to be to believe in supernatural powers that are evil and dark, and violence means nothing to them. They don't have those sense of values that at least I was raised with in the 50s and 60s. And I think if we don't develop alternatives to that and somehow get better quality entertainment out there to our people, that you know, we've just dumbed down our population, and our future is very bleak. I do think we've got hope for turning that around, but unless people understand how these movements have affected that, you know, the Frankfurt School and the Bose Anthropology Movement, Darwinism, you've got all these communist-inspired movements that are basically designed to destroy us from within, and they do it by attacking our young people. The Department of Education and what's going on, mandates from the federal government that are taking away the authority of the local districts to educate their own young people. And all these kind of policies are working in tandem, and it's almost overwhelming for people to consider when they look at this. But it's been orchestrated over a long period of time, and it's a lot of resources behind this. But fortunately, because of the Internet, people are waking up to it, and moral degeneracy being the fourth way to destroy countries, and we're well along the way to destruction right now, and hopefully we can stop it.
And you feel it is deliberate.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt in my mind, no.
Okay. Now, you talked about... Go ahead.
I was just going to give you an example. One example was a film called Jericho that I did that had Christian themes. It was all about return to family and right over wrong, peace over violence. It was a mystery Western. And we were trying to get ready to distribute the film, and, of course, Hollywood put every barrier in front of us they could. They didn't want this to reach the public. Fortunately, we did slip through a few cracks, but they tried to give us an R rating on a film for a family-friendly film, and our market, of course, was to be the family markets. And it didn't have anything gratuitous in it at all, so we appealed the process, and like a courtroom drama, I had to go and defend the fact that our film should not be an R-rated film, and the MPAA tried to show that it should. And fortunately, in the appeals process, they brought in enough outsiders, and we won on appeal, and it was a 13-1 vote, which, according to the MPAA, is a reversal of a rating by the widest margin in the history of the MPAA. But the whole process taught me that there's two standards, one for Hollywood fare, and they were making pure garbage that were they were given PG and PG-13 ratings for, which were so destructive to our young people. You had a film like Jericho where they were trying to limit our market potential, and so it taught me a lesson there. But that's just one example of the many barriers they will throw in front of somebody who tries to do quality.
Amazing. And apparently they do this throughout the whole spectrum of every business, whether you're talking about car manufacturing, whether you're talking making movies or whatever. Now, who is in charge of this group of people that gave this rating to your movie?
Well, you know, the Motion Picture Association of America is composed of the member companies, which really are your largest distributors of films. They're the ones that compose the MPAA, and so it's their selected representatives that are reviewing the films. And I think, you know, it was created in 1965. That's when they got away from the Hays Commission and government regulation of content, and they were going to basically self-censor themselves by having a rating administration, which would then tell the public, well, you should be a little cautious of this film because it has this element or that element. But it's a slippery slope. Eventually, they're able to get us to accept whatever they turn out. If all they turn out is garbage, and eventually we're going to say, well, that's the only thing we got to look for, and our standards and our values change over time.
Right. And it was the 60s when they basically introduced a bit of nudity into a film, and it's been going downhill ever since then.
Yeah, it's been attacking our values, our heritage in every way. You know, you can look at all aspects of who we are, our identity, and we've been under assault, and especially Christianity and the values of goodness and the work ethic, those things that we were brought up to respect, and basically European-American traditions have been under fire.
Right. And, of course, you don't have to be a Christian to have good values. I mean, there are plenty of wonderful people who have values and strict standards. So this is a very insidious tool that they're using, the media, to destroy the culture. And as you say, it is very deliberate. Now, you mentioned earlier about the middle class and the destruction of the middle class. How do you see that happening? You mentioned in your talk at Freedom Palooza about NAFTA and some of the other so-called free trade agreements.
Well, production in our wealth usually originates by way of the small entrepreneurs that grow an idea. And they take the risks, and they build it into a business and sometimes into an industry. And that was what America was all about, you know, the entrepreneur having the opportunity to do that. We've tied our entrepreneurs' hands. There's so many taxes. There's so much red tape and regulations. We make it next to impossible for a young entrepreneur to start a new business and succeed. It's just unbelievable to me that we've lost that pioneering spirit, and we're allowing these chains to be put on us. But that's one aspect of it. The other, of course, is the multinational corporations. The dynamics of this are such that the large companies can survive it, and, of course, they provide a tax base for the government. And the smaller companies are usually forced to capitulate, or they're acquired by a larger company. And now these large companies know they can make the same product for a fraction of the cost if they go to an India or a China. They do that because their workers we can't compete against them because they don't have the health and welfare laws, they don't have the various taxes and the Social Security, and they don't have all the benefits that we in America require. And of course, in America, we have litigation costs. You know, we have so many things that if you don't think about that add to the cost of producing the product. And it's just become a very unfair situation that we're giving the multinational corporations all kinds of advantages and incentives, tax incentives, to produce overseas outside of our country. The other thing is we're importing labor into our country. We've not only got the immigration invasion, we've got specific programs like H-1B visa program, which is designed to give training, to give the skills to foreign workers to come in here and replace our own people. I mean, these things are designed to destroy our middle class and basically lead us to a two-class system, and which is more easily controlled. And if you're implementing police state measures at the same time, where do we go for a fair break? You lose the freedoms that our founding fathers fought for.
Right. And of course, they don't talk about this in the media. They just talk about, the government just, here we have a break. All righty, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break in 3 minutes, so stay tuned.
Collection calls.
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info, or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256, or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Has two websites, Americana-pictures.com and MerlinMiller2012.com. And we were talking about the bureaucracy. And do you think that various government agencies actually work against the middle class in order to transfer its wealth upward?
I do, and that's actually the lead-in for the fifth way of destroying a nation is the corruption in government. And you know, we've grown a monster here with our federal government and even the state governments, gone way beyond their constitutional authority, and we need to put that in check. I mean, you look at all these executive orders, you know, they should be repealed immediately, and how a lot, so much of the legislation now is unconstitutional, and even when it's challenged in the courts, the interpretations that we get out of the courts are often just nonsensical to me. And you look at all the czars that we have and all these agencies that we have, I would love to see most of them disappear. I just don't think there's any constitutional basis for them. And, you know, each one is like it's got its own fiefdom, and they're growing, and they feed on the public. And the more they grow, the more oppressive they are to the American people. And we just don't need that. We need to be freed up. We need to have all this red tape gone and get these agencies and regulatory bureaus away from us.
Right. And one of those agencies is the EPA. And when I was in China in 2007 in Beijing, we could not actually go outside at certain times of the day because the smog was so incredibly bad, and because of the production there. And during the games, they were going to have everybody not drive their cars, and they were going to make all of these preparations so that nobody would notice or be aware, you know, the foreigners would not be aware of the conditions over there. And I'm thinking, here we are, the business people are going over and basically destroying another country, the environment of another country, and yet we have these protections here that would prevent that. But I'm thinking, actually, these protections here are not protecting our workers. They are basically chasing production out of the country. And you think that that's deliberate also?
I do, and I'm a firm believer in protecting our environment, but it shouldn't be imposed uniformly by a government at the national level. It should be done more on a localized basis and done in a common sense way. I mean, sometimes we go to such extremes in protecting some element of our environment, and we're damaging other elements of the environment and destroying our production potential. And there's no consistency to the actions of companies here in America as compared to what they're doing overseas.
Right. And, of course, a businessman looks at the environment in a totally different way than a naturalist. They see the environment, or they view certain opportunities as ways to make a profit. I mean, when they look at the population, they think, oh, what can I do to these people to make a profit? And which gives the rise to the medical industry.
You're right, and the litigation that comes out of these things too. And it's hard to find answers to these things because we've grown into such a litigious society that we want to sue on every basis. But yet it's the ability to sue that should give us protections.
Sure. All righty, we do have our 60-second top of the hour break. We will be right back after station ID with our guest today, Merlin Miller.
Are you a